90.7 WKGC. This is The Mix. That's Molly Hatchett and Flirting with Disaster. And it's Friday, and we have guests in the studio, and that's always Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, yes. We're 30 days away from tax day. Yeah, the countdown is on, and that's why we invited Professor Herndon from the economics department.
Oh, is he going to pay taxes for us, our taxes? Because
he's actually going to do your taxes
really?
For you. Yes, we're all just going to bring in boxes and boxes of paperwork, dump it on his desk, and come back a couple days later, and our taxes are all done for us.
Both of those would cost me money or cost you money.
Oh, okay.
Well, we already did ours anyway. So.
Okay, good.
I did mine just the other day.
It's not October. I'm not doing mine.
Well, like a lot of folks, they thought that
some of the tax breaks,
October is the extension deadline.
That's the extension of the extension deadline,
yeah.
But yes.
I got it, but it wasn't funny.
Oh.
As is
it wasn't really.
No.
Okay. I agree with you, Scott.
Drink
not
your,
funny.
Drink your coffee. You need more.
Give him a buzzer.
Yeah. A buzzer.
Please. That's for you.
Okay, thank you.
But a lot of folks thought that these tax breaks were going to kick in this year. And nothing's going to happen to your standard deduction until next year. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so the excitement is a little bit,
premature.
Yeah, premature. But for 2018, what's going to happen? We'll start with the standard deduction because that's probably the most common and well understood part of it. Our standard deduction is going to increase by how much?
If you're from $12,000 to $24,000, if you are a married couple filing jointly, mm-hmm. and it's going to basically double from
what
it was before.
Double?
Double.
Really?
Right.
And that will also avoid if you do have business income or subcontractor income. That standard deduction is so high now that...
If you're a sole proprietor, if you're taxes, but
that
what,
you may not need. So there's a group of people that may not need to itemize anymore.
Quite a few,
right?
Quite a few, quite
really.
A few.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great.
There are estimates of the. Hold on one second here. The Nonprofit Tax Policy Center estimates that about 90% of the people, 80% of the people won't have to file itemized deductions.
Well, that's great. That's a lot less work, a lot less paperwork. It's probably less work for the IRS, too.
And since they're understaffed...
That's a good thing.
That's not a bad thing.
I mean, was that an object of any of this, to simplify things both for the taxpayer or both for the IRS, too? Are they going to save?
Certainly, I believe so.
There's going to be some government savings.
There's been a movement all the way back to when there were ideas in the 90s about a single tax form.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. One-page tax form.
One page.
How about just a value-added tax and get rid of all the rest of this?
There are strong proponents for that. Mm-hmm. We are one of the few modern... economies that don't have a value-added tax.
Explain
which
what
for
a,
those, it's
yeah,
a national
that.
Sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Early on, some of the arguments against that was there was no collection mechanism, but I think almost every state now, there are a few holdouts, don't have value-added tax. I think Delaware is one of them, but almost all the states have a collection mechanism that the federal government could piggyback on and just get rid of the tax system as we know it, basically.
How would that work? There would just be another tax on everything you buy?
Well, if there was a genuine value-added tax, mm-hmm. which would be like a federal sales tax, there would have to be changes, alterations, pretty dramatic, made to the income tax. Mm-hmm. The biggest criticism of a value-added tax is that it's regressive, meaning that those are lower income levels are going to pay higher. And what some countries who've successfully implemented this make adjustments for that.
Mm-hmm. It's much more difficult to cheat on a value-added tax than it is on income tax or something like that. You can't exaggerate or underestimate what you just bought.
I lost a few of those receipts.
Yeah.
Well, oops.
Well, I think what's going to happen is when you check out at Home Depot, you're just going to pay 12% more than you
12%
did before.
12% is that going to be my next question?
Well,
how much?
And again, Matt might disagree with me. There was some real discussion if we went to a true value added tax, it would be as high as 12%. Is that correct, Matt? Mm. Is that what I'd read?
That's about right.
Yeah. But no income tax, no tax deductions from your paycheck. You're not going to pay any more or less. It's just you're not going to have to fool with how it's collected. The other thing is it's much more difficult to for people to do a workaround on it. So that, you know, a lot of people, the richer you get, the less taxes you pay, although it's not supposed to be that way because you can actually work on some get-arounds on this stuff. And I think checking out at Home Depot is going to be, you're just going to have to pay it.
Well, we're talking about taxes this morning. We have Professor Matt Herndon here from Gulf Coast State College. And we're going to get your background, Matt, because I'm not yet sure why I should trust you. But we're
good
also
question.
Talking death and taxes at the Kaleidoscope Theater. It's a funny play looking at the inside look at a small town city council.
Nice.
And the tax man's murdered. It's a hilarious whodunit. It kicks off this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. runs through April 1st. If you'd like some information on tickets or other things happening at Kaleidoscope Theater, it's kt-online.org. And we'll be back with more of The Mix and Matt Herndon and some Graham Central Station right here on 90.7 WKGC. That's Graham Central Station on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. My radio sure sounds good to me, and yours should sound good too, because you're listening to your local community public radio station, 90.7 WKGC. And you know what? We've been doing this since 1975.
Wow.
That's
I'm
a
tired.
Long time. I was, even before I was born. So we've been doing that for a long time, and we are trying to
pay our taxes.
Well, something like that. We want to help out our member listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that by opening up our vinyl vault.
Oh, yes.
We have a vinyl vault?
We do.
We do?
It's lined in vinyl.
We have a vault lined
some
in vinyl.
Some vaults are lined in lead. Ours is lined in vinyl.
Is Jimmy Hoffa in there?
He might very well
be. We haven't found out.
You haven't moved all those records yet, have you, Scott?
It's inconclusive.
No, it is.
Going to find a mummified Jimmy Hoffa in the back of it.
Yeah. After spring break, we're going to have to get everybody all hands on deck to move those things
That's
out
right.
of there. Because
mm-hmm.
it's...
Our vinyl vault party is almost here. April 7th.
April 7th. It's going to be here at 9 o'clock at the Amelia Center.
This is not
wrong
the Amelia Center.
Wrong
Please
end
don't
of campus.
Send, you're Sorry. Going to make everybody mad if you send them to the Amelia Center. Both the Amelia Center people and our listeners.
I think they
listeners.
Revoked my key from there, too.
I think they did, too, yes. I told them to.
Yeah, you should have.
Okay.
Anyway, it'll be here at the Advanced Technology Center here on the campus of Gulf Coast State College. Speaking of which, we have a member of Gulf Coast State College here.
We do.
One of our fine, fine faculty. Professor Matt Herndon.
Good morning.
So Matt's talking
Thank
to
you.
Us this morning about taxes, not death. That's another topic for another day. But Matt, what's your background? Why? What gives you? What do you teach around here that gives you some knowledge about all this?
You asked me to come. No, I am responsible for our economics program. So my core courses are economics. But I was an enrolled agent. Licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS, as well as a certified financial planner.
Okay. Mm,
in my
okay.
past life. I'm not currently active.
Right.
Because I teach here.
Yeah. Which is, you know, there are benefits that are here that you don't get out in the tax world, I suppose.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or the corporate world, where I spent so many years.
Grading mm-hmm. papers and listening to excuses and sorry.
And you
sorry.
Also teach a class at FSUPC, right?
I've taught
you have,
last
sometimes.
Year upper mm-hmm. division economics.
You
classes.
Dabble across the street.
Yes,
there.
I dabble yeah. across. The
okay, and here's let me just throw something out here. I warned you about Matt. Would you explain to us, everyone, what is a tariff and why would you do it?
A tariff is basically a tax
mm-hmm.
on imported goods, and the most logical reasons why you would tend to do it. Is to prevent or inhibit a country from what we call dumping,
mm-hmm.
meaning deliberately undercutting goods that are produced within the United States. And we've had strategic reasons. I think a lot of people don't realize how many tariffs that we maintain over the years. We had a tariff early in 2000s, late 1990s on Korean tires because they were dumping or undercutting, unfairly pricing tires. So, and there's a World Trade Organization. There is an intermediary that that many folks now want to sort of undercut their role, but who sort of police and fairly determine whether somebody's inappropriately applying tariffs.
Mm-hmm. So, or do they also then, WTO, do they have anything? So if Korea, South Korea begins to dump their tires on us again, does the WTO also have the any ability at all to go to South Korea and say, no, don't do that? I mean, what?
My understanding is they're an arbiter, mm-hmm. but they can't make a final execution of mm-hmm. a change in your behavior.
So tariffs can be useful.
Tariffs can be useful, but rules of thumb in modern international trade is that they excessive tariffs tend to breed trade wars,
mm-hmm. which are easy to win.
you said that, not I.
Okay. Thank you for that confirmation.
In the example of the tariffs that mm-hmm. we've just, the steel and aluminum, mm-hmm. you know, one way to look at this is there's very few companies here producing steel and aluminum. There's many companies buying steel and mm-hmm. aluminum. So if you look at the impacts, one estimate is tariffs may benefit or create another 30,000 or so jobs in steel and aluminum mm-hmm. production here, but it could wind up eliminating about 180,000. Those were some.
So it might not. Projection. It might not. Maybe as a threat is a good idea, but as something that's actually executed, might not be so good. Is that where I'm getting with this?
Let's say of all the policies that have been proposed or implemented out of the current administration and Congress, this is the most universally unpopular.
Okay.
By the economics community and both sides of the House.
Oh yes, I know both sides. Everybody's going now. We don't. And you know, everybody's going now. This doesn't look like a good idea.
There's an old adage: is the fallacy of composition. What's good for the individual is not necessarily good for the whole.
Mm-hmm.
That very much applies to implementing tariffs.
Mm-hmm. We're talking this morning with Professor Matt Herndon here at Gulf Coast State College. We're talking about taxes, which I know is it's exhilarating.
It is.
Totally exhilarating.
That's why you changed the subject.
Isn't everyone excited?
Yeah, I changed it. I was so excited about taxes. I changed it to tariffs.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you mentioned the tariff is a tax.
It really is a tax.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about I guess it's a new tax thing.
The Trump tax plan. Yeah, and we're looking for an overview.
And
I see you've
Tax Cuts
done some,
and Job Act.
That's what it's called officially.
There you go. And that'll be coming Act. Your way here in just a few minutes, so hold tight. But first, we've got the Beatles. Tom, mm-hmm. you suggested this
I
one.
I did.
It's the Tax Man on the Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Weather's next. The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Creedence Clearwater Revival, a little Proud Mary. Not quite like Ike and Tina, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great song.
CCR does a good job.
They do a pretty good job of that. We're talking this morning about taxes.
Who's done their taxes already?
I've done it. My wife did it.
Good for her.
Yeah. We try to get that done as quickly as we can.
I put all the relevant paperwork in a folder. Does that count?
Nope.
No.
I'm surprised you have paperwork, Tom. We have Professor Matt Herndon in the studio with us, and we've been talking about a number of things, but one of the reasons we brought you on here was to kind of give us the lowdown on, if you could just break it down for somebody simple-minded like myself and producer Brandon, what does the Trump tax plan really mean? I mean, what's
give
it
us
do?
An overview.
Yeah.
The tax plan, I think, is an execution of what at least the last two or three presidents have wanted to try to do, and that's genuinely cut corporate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, and I think what made it successful this time is that we're going to have to be some concessions to you and me, individuals and households, in order to pull it off. But the way it's structured is the corporate taxes rates decline from 35 to 21%, which make us much more competitive, which is probably necessary with corporations and the rest of the world. And it's permanent. So there's going to have to be new legislation if and when that would ever happen to change that. But the tax breaks for individuals and households are not permanent. They are programmed to expire within roughly 8 to 10 years, something like that. So it's sort of a double-edged sword. The projections are there's going to be benefits for all of us for the next couple of years, but then the jury's out as to whether or not it's going to be beneficial for individuals and the economy going forward.
So you say there's benefits to all of us, mm-hmm. in going through every income bracket, or is there, can you break that down? Is it better for some than others, or?
Well, the best way to approach this is tend to look at for more the average person, mm-hmm. or the typical person, because there are going to be people at high income levels, and I'm sure you've read about that. If you are from some of these states, which were so against it, California, New York, some of them with very expensive real estate, then some of the more detail, probably beyond the scope of this discussion, limitations on how much mortgage interest, state and local taxes you can deduct, is going to hurt some of those people. But by and large, across the country, again, the average person, again, what's estimated is for 2018 taxes, which are filed in 2019, there will be a drop of probably more than half of taxpayers itemizing deductions. I mean, they will be taking standard deductions.
That's great. A lot like less work for a lot of
folks. 47 million to 19 million.
Yeah. Matt, how long in the early predictions on this is it going to take the United States to build up our corporate incomes now and increase in corporations and investment here to make up for the income loss to the Treasury because of this 30% cut in corporate taxes?
It depends on how fast the economy grows. Mm-hmm. That's a classic economist answer. but it is true.
But I mean, eventually it's going to catch up. Is that correct? I mean, that's what you're actually looking for, is we will not only catch up on the lost revenue, but at that point we'll also have a more robust, deeper economy.
The proponents of the corporate tax cuts, mm-hmm. Believe that it will create probably double, mm-hmm. our current growth in real gross domestic product, at least to something between 3% and 4%, mm-hmm. and that within 10 years or so, you know, it could help make us whole. Some of the extreme predictions is that at that point, maybe we could even start reducing the national debt.
Okay.
But it's not conventional forecast.
Okay.
Matt, one of our listeners reached out and asked to ask you if the tariffs could negate at least some of the gains the tax plan is supposed to give people.
Yeah, actually, there's already been some studies on that. And as I'd mentioned to you offline, is what the tariffs we're afraid will do will be to lower some of the growth in the economy that the tax cuts are designed to create. Mm-hmm. And so it literally could be two phenomena at odds with one another. Corporate tax cuts to spur consumer spending and ideally corporate investment in plant and equipment, employees, increasing productivity, but very likely somewhat mitigated by the fact that we're going to lose business to these tariffs.
Really? Wow. Well, this is deep.
I know.
And maybe I have too deep.
It's a lot to wrap your head around on a Friday morning.
Sure does.
But I did also hear that the withholdings are going to change. So the amount that comes out of your paycheck is going to be different in 2018. And that the employee is responsible for checking that themselves. How do we check that?
Well, yeah, the estimates are that more than 90% of workers starting this year are going to see bigger paychecks. Of all the stuff we've talked about, that's the one thing that is already clearly evident. You've probably noticed it, mm-hmm. in your paychecks.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. So, but what to your question, what it means is we have to be much more careful, and most tax advisors, if they're being conscientious, are already advising their clients to check your withholding, because you're going to benefit this year, with, on average, they estimated that people could be seeing about $2,000 plus returns.
Really?
Yes. However, come next year, when you file it, you may be unpleasantly surprised because you underwithheld.
Ah. Oh,
I see.
So as we were talking offline, one recommendation is to go to www.irs.gov, and they have a brand new 2018 withholding calculator.
Okay.
And I would really recommend that people, at least because you don't have on your W-4, to create a new W-4, because on the new one, you're not going to have personal exemptions like you did before.
They've been, so you can't choose
they've been
one
eliminated.
Or two or just...
It's done in a different way.
Okay.
So I would recommend that people look at that.
Interesting.
Sounds easier.
We're going to move to just something real quickly different, and that is producer Brandon has our vinyl play of the day.
Brandon,
why are you doing a vinyl play of the day?
Mostly just because I like vinyl, but also because we're getting ready for
and
the...
And we told him to.
And we we did tell him to.
But we are gearing up for our vinyl vault party, where we're going to give back to the... to the members of WKGC.
It's like a tax plan there. We're going to give
back.
Yeah,
it's like a rebate.
You get a tax rebate with your membership.
Something like that.
Only it's vinyl.
Mm-hmm. We like that. What do you got for us today?
This album, released in October 1975, it's the 10th studio album from Elton John. It debuted on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart at number one, the only two albums at the time to have done so. Less successful in the U.K., reaching number five. The title is a play on the phrase West of the Rockies, so it's Rock of the Westies. Hmm. And the song actually was number one in the U.S. for a while. The song is Island Girl.
All right. This is our vinyl play of the day. We'll be back with more Matt Herndon and more tax info right after this on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC.
Yeah.
are 10 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and we're talking in this morning. I can't even speak. We're talking in this morning.
You're talking in this morning.
I'm ready for spring break, folks.
You are.
Yeah. We are talking this morning with Matt Herndon, who's a professor here at Gulf Coast State College and actually knows a little bit about taxes, and or at least says he does. Mm-hmm. That works for
me. He's got a lot of notes there.
He does.
He's got a page full of notes.
At least
Brandon
today.
Has notes, too, and I don't know that I would trust him necessarily.
No
offense,
really.
Buddy. But, so we've been talking.
I could give you an E or an E flat.
That would not help out in taxes at
all
either.
You're looking for notes?
No.
No.
He's a funny guy.
I mean, Matt's looking at me like, when is this show
You've
over?
You've had a couple jokes
exactly.
that bombed this morning, Tom. I just...
Yeah.
It's Friday.
I'm going to feel for you.
Put a tariff on him.
Yeah.
We've thought about it. Believe me, we've tried. Any last thoughts, Matt, as we head towards 10 o'clock regarding, you know, for us folks who don't know much about what happened, what do we do?
Well, one of the things that...
Then the people that have a decision to make are those itemizers, those previous itemizers that half of you don't need to itemize anymore, and those that are sort of on the line in the gray area. Matt has some tips to clarify which way you should go.
Works for me. Matt?
Yeah. And quickly, if you're a married couple filing jointly, as an example, and you make roughly $50,000, $50,000 to $60,000, It would probably be necessary for you to have itemized deductions in excess of, say, $16,000.
Wow, that's a lot of deductions to come up with.
Because in order for you to justify not taking the standard deduction, because the standard deduction now, which is double of $24,000, it does eliminate your, with two people, your $4,000 personal exemption. So that's $8,100 you don't have. But effectively, the $24,000 before, you would be comparing your $15,000 worth of itemized deductions plus $8,000 of... So you would still only have about $22,000, $23,000, which is less than the $24,000.
Right, okay.
So again, to summarize, I just mean that is an important thing, I think, for a lot of people who traditionally itemize deductions. If you're in that fairly common profile for a married couple, you're going to need to have sizable itemized deductions to justify itemizing.
Okay.
Versus simplifying and taking the standard deduction.
Right. A lot more people taking that standard deduction.
Significantly.
How many did you say? 91 million? Or?
Well, of about 50 million people who itemize deductions, the Tax Policy Center estimates that this could drop to about 19 million.
Okay. That's a lot less work for a lot of folks.
Simplifies it for you and me and the IRS, as you mentioned earlier.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to doing my taxes in 2018.
I bet you are. I guess it's
not me.
I'm the only one.
Well, you know, and I've said this before, I don't much care for any particular tax plan. I just want to stop getting hosed.
Yeah.
We all do. I feel it. And I've tried to explain this to my kids.
Good luck with that, Scott.
You know, and that's the rough truth about growing up is that the more you make, the less you make.
Yeah.
You know, the more you
get
stuck.
The bigger piece of pie you've got to give up. Yeah.
And so,
contribute.
That's harsh.
But we need roads and bridges and, you know.
And speaking of which, keep in mind the folks down in Miami.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was for Florida International University. That pedestrian bridge. Which at least it wasn't loaded up with pedestrians.
That's one.
Yeah, but it was
small silver lining.
They were lifting bridge into place without turning off the traffic, which probably was not the best idea in the world.
Yeah, somebody's going to get in trouble.
Somebody already is, and there's already been.
And the company had some other problems. So.
And that was not their first rodeo either.
No, it's bad. It looks ugly. So, of course, next week we're on vacation.
Right.
So the mix is running. It's kind of running solo.
Yeah. Well, you don't The good thing for our listeners is I won't be here.
There
so.
You go.
Yeah.
So we get a little bit of a break, but please keep listening and check out our website, WKGC.org.
Well, we have basketball next week, too.
We've got basketball. Producer Brandon is working.
Tuesday night, 6 p.m., the first game for Gulf Coast. That'll be the second round.
Herman and James will be checking in from
Lubbock, Texas.
Yes.
They'll play either San Jacinto or Hutchinson on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Just depends who wins
that game. Holly's from.
In the first round. Mm-hmm.
Buddy Holly was from Lubbock, Texas.
Yes. I've been to Lubbock.
Peggy Sue.
Me too.
Have you? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been there.
Happiness was Lubbock, Texas.
I played football against Texas Tech.
Really?
Really?
When I was in college, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to have
we got beat real bad.
Uncle Matt stories.
Yeah, we're going to have some Uncle Matt stories, or maybe during football season he could give us a rundown on Sunday's games on Monday morning.
There you go. James says there's not a whole lot there in Lubbock.
There's not. Mm-hmm. Good luck at finding a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
The football stadium's really nice.
The football stadium, yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and apparently they have some nice gymnasium space because they do women's basketball well down there.
Right, yeah, that's what I've been told. But anyway, Brandon will be here, and James and Herman usually get started about 15 minutes or so before, so we'll end up cutting All Things Considered just a little bit short, and we'll have some basketball action right here.
And the commission meeting.
And the commission meeting on Tuesday. Man, he's on top of stuff.
He is. Yeah, yes. That's why he's here.
That's right.
Yeah, but Brandon will be board opping our commission meeting Tuesday morning. Find out where your money's going. Listen to the commission
that's
meeting.
That's right. We're going to take you up to 10 o'clock with a little music from Lynyrd Skynyrd. And this is Sweet Home Alabama. You're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station, NHD 90.7 WKGC.